Welcome to the All-in-One podcast for middle school language arts teachers. I'm Linda, and I've been a teacher for over 30 years. I can help you with tips, tricks, and motivation that will simplify your planning, streamline your teaching, and enjoy more free time. Well, hey there, it's Linda. I hope all is going well in your world. If you are back to school, I hope that you're off to a smooth start. I am so excited to continue with our mini series on reading workshop. Maybe it's your first job, or maybe you are a veteran teacher who has been told to teach with this model. Either way, you are in the right place. I am hopeful that through my experiences, this podcast series will help guide and inspire you to either get started with the reading workshop model of teaching or to hone your skills further. The first podcast in this series focused on why you should consider a reading workshop model of teaching. If you haven't listened to that yet, you might want to start there. I also want to mention here that there are many people who hear the term reading workshop and they see it as something that is too vague or only for students who are at grade level with their reading. Please know that I have used units of study by Lucy Calkins, but I modified them completely to be more skills-based and practical. So I hear you. But please know that what I am going to be speaking about is something that can be used for all levels of kids and is not just a series of fabulous lessons to engage higher level readers. Okay, and before we begin, I want to make sure that you know I'll be mentioning a few valuable freebies. I also really want to encourage you to sign up for my email list. I do a bunch of freebies, and once you are on my list, I start sending them your way. You'll also be alerted when there is a sale or a new product of interest, so you definitely want to opt into this. My email opt-in and any freebies or products that I mention will all be linked in the show notes for your convenience, so don't forget to check them out. Okay, so today we are talking about getting started with reading workshop in middle school. We're going to consider six topics: time, choosing your units, digital versus print, materials, room setup, and grading. And that's a lot, so let's dive on in. Let's start by talking about time. For the most part, obviously, time is going to be dictated to you through your schedule, but you will see that you do have some control. When I first started teaching language arts, we had a module schedule with language arts being 84 minutes every day. I taught half the class as reading workshop and the second half as writing workshop, and I carved out time specifically for grammar and vocabulary. I'm not sure I would still do it this way, but that's an option. My current schedule now only allows for about 55 minutes of language arts, which is quite a reduction. When we first had that change, I opted for reading workshop on what are called A days in my school. A lot of you probably have an A and B day schedule, and writing workshop on B days. Now, I'm going to tell you, it did not go that smoothly doing it this way. The kids were always confused about what to bring. So I said, I'll post a little wipe away board outside my door. I'll write down what they should bring and the kids will read that board and they'll bring the right materials. And guess what? If you know middle schoolers, the whiteboard became like white noise to them and they completely ignored it. I eventually had to change it because it was just way too chaotic. I decided to alternate between reading and writing units. And if you have that option, I really recommend it to you. So, for example, in September, we start with a reading unit with a novel study so we can launch with having students all reading the same book. In October, we do a writing unit on personal narrative, and I find this to work really well. Okay, let's talk about choosing your units. You will also need to look at how many units you teach. I do 10 units, but I do combine poetry as a reading and writing unit all in one. And like I said, I teach one a month, and I do writing 1 month and reading the next. And I believe each unit needs roughly a month. I first look at our district calendar. I look at things like testing times and holiday breaks and things like that. And then I try to match up my writing unit to my reading unit. So for example, if I'm teaching informational reading, then I might do a writing unit on a feature article. And many of the skills obviously are the same. Doing your reading unit first gives kids the skills that they see in action with published authors. They can refer to it when transferring these skills into their writing piece. And once you have established what time and schedule you will use, select your units if they are not already selected for you. I'll give you a few that I do. And I know that it's going to be a lot different in every school, but in case you're interested, I do a novel study followed by a personal narrative. Then I do for reading a character study followed by a literary essay on character traits. Then we do a historical fiction reading unit followed by a literary essay on theme. And there's obviously more, but that's kind of how I begin to match them up. Okay, the next thing I want to talk about is, are you going to use a digital or print model to execute all of this? You're going to need to make a decision as to whether you want your students to work in an actual notebook, have materials online, or a combination of both. When I first started doing reading workshop, the philosophy was to have everything printed to present to the kids in real time. And it was seen as more personal. I would gather kids around and explain the lesson and write on large anchor charts as I went along. I did not project anything digitally. Then 2020 hit, and wow, was it a lot of work to transpose those years of lessons into something manageable for a Google Classroom during the pandemic. Today, I've settled on a combination of both. All of my mini lessons, notes, and assignments are available on my Google Classroom, but kids do their note-taking and have copies of important notes in a composition notebook. If you're looking for a shortcut, I have lots of reading mini lessons available in my TPT store, plus a free starter mini lesson on literary terms and plot structure. And I'll be sure to link that in the notes. I still love having kids create a reading, like an actual reading notebook, by decorating a composition book with inspiring pictures and of books that they've read that they loved. It's just something that I can't give up, and they honestly love it. I do have kids do some of their work online, but I prefer a composition book for the most part. Whatever it is, you're going to need to decide how you will do this before starting. Okay, so let's talk about now materials. Here's a list of recommended materials. It's pretty minimal. I mean, aside from books, it's a very, very minimal thing, but things that the kids would need, okay? They will need composition notebooks if you're using them. I have kids bring in 4 or 5 of them at the beginning of the year as part of their school supplies, so they have a new one each marking period. You might want to change for each marking period, or you, if you're doing 5 reading units, you might want them to bring in 5. And if your school lets you do this as a school order, that's even better. I really recommend telling kids to bring them all in at the beginning of the year with their names on them and you store them, because I'm going to tell you right now, getting kids to bring in school supplies in the middle of the year is a lose-lose situation. And I have just found this to be much easier, although it takes up a lot of space in my closet. It is real estate that is really well delegated. You will also need your own composition notebook to use as a class model, and I really recommend this so that kids can see what you're writing. They have a model if they're absent of what should go where. Obviously, you're going to want kids to have a variety of pens and pencils, markers and highlighters, and a little pencil pouch. I do have stuff for kids to use as a class, but in general, they really are responsible to bring in their own, because as you and I both know, supplies disappear very quickly in a middle school setting. If you're using notebooks, you're going to want a good supply of tape to tape in their notes. You would definitely want Post-its. I recommend about 2 packs per student for a reading workshop. Have them keep them in their pencil pouch, and then I always order a bunch for the classroom. And then you're definitely going to want that large chart paper for anchor charts. I do also type up anchor charts and have them available online, but kids need to refer to them often, and you really want to have them ready to show in your room. Okay, let's talk about your room setup. You don't really need a special setup for your room. When you're getting started, it's more important to have your lessons and procedures in place. However, I do have some recommendations for you. I like to set up desks and tables of 4 because kids get a partner for each unit. They should sit next to their partner and with another compatible pair. And partners are something that you should pick. And we will be talking about that later on in a different podcast. You are definitely going to need a library corner. That is so important. And I have a whole podcast on that. I will link that below. But you need to have your library corner dedicated. Hopefully you can have a carpet, and you definitely need a wide variety of books. And like I said, that's it. Books and library corner is its own podcast, but you want to have that available. If you have a dedicated bulletin board to use, that would be great. You can use it to hang anchor charts, examples of student work, and any skills that you're teaching. And this is this bulletin board is very, I change it each time we start a new unit. And so I just make it a very, clear area that I can easily tack things and pull them off and not have to redo it all, redo the paper all the time. Okay, you also want to establish your meeting area where you will teach your lessons. This is so, so important. When I do a mini lesson with my students, I have kids move their chairs with their notebooks and pencils and gather around the screen. It just helps to signal to kids that this is their time to listen and focus. And kids each have a specific place that they sit. Even some of them might just be at their own desk, but they have to turn their chair. But having a little bit of movement really signals their brains that it's time to listen. Okay? A sharing area is great as well. I use my library corner because I have a carpet. We gather and we share, but obviously for here, you have to do what works best within your own classroom. I would definitely recommend having a dedicated shelf or area for student materials. It's just so annoying when a student doesn't have a pencil or a packet of Post-its. And in my room, it's a shelf, and it literally says student shelf. And kids know that that is a shelf they can go to without having to interrupt me and to take some materials. And I do tell them, though, if they're borrowing something like a pencil, to return them. Good luck with that. Godspeed on that one. And then some luxury items, if you can get them, like I said, a carpet, beanbag chairs are great. A couch is fantastic. I am lucky enough to have a couch in my room, and lamps kind of set the ambiance better than those really obnoxious overhead lights that most schools have. Okay, so grading. You're going to want to establish your grading system at the beginning of the unit and clearly explain it to your students before starting the unit. So here are some things to consider. If a student is doing a reading entry, are you going to grade them? If so, how? I would recommend kind of grading this for completion and length and not for every bit of mechanics. And my reading entries are not worth as much as obviously a quiz or a test grade. Online assignments. If you are going to do anything online, decide ahead of time. For example, I might have my kids putting in their text evidence into an entry online, and that would be an assignment that's completed on Google Classroom, and it's only worth 5 points, and so it's not weighted heavily. Then there are notebooks. Are you going to grade them? I do recommend grading them. Kids don't put any effort into anything, if in my experience, unless I'm grading them. But again, I would grade it for completion and not for every bit of mechanics. And if you are grading it, I would recommend giving the students a rubric, kind of a check, more of a checklist, so that they can just check off that they have each item, and you can use the same checklist to grade it, and it kind of streamlines your grading that way. Okay, so as far as any final assessments, kids are going to need to know very clearly what they are going to be tested on. So when we do, for example, when I do historical fiction, my assessment piece is they have to do a cold read on a short story of a historical fiction piece, and I give them questions based on the skills I taught, such as symbolism and theme and things like that. Don't worry about all of these specifics yet. We are going to be talking about that later in another podcast, but you do want to think about it before planning out your unit. And then, is there anything else that you're going to be grading? There might be something that's important to you, or in your school, and be sure to account for this. And remember, you might want to, I'm sure that you already have different assignment weights, but really think about how you want to handle that with the pieces of that go into a reading unit. Okay, so that's really it for today. This is kind of an overview, talking about the time you're going to need for it, choosing your units, digital versus print materials, room setup, and grading.
I hope this information was helpful. Be sure to check the links that I mentioned in the show notes. My email is available there as well in case you have questions or comments. You can also DM me on Instagram at All-in-One Middle School. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you in the next episode.